Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get straight to the docket. Wait until you hear how long we have to wait to schedule something in the Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell matter. Second, the prosecutors in the Derek Chauvin matter show today that if you don't like the doctor's results, I guess you just ask as many doctors till you find what they're willing to say. Third, only in the government can you get in trouble and get promoted. Fourth, a double bonus today are dumb criminals for the dumb criminal contestant of the day. And then we have a little news about Patreon as well as a special visitor today. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to hit the little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. All right, first on the docket, this ought to get the old blood pressure pumping. That's for sure. Wait until you hear how long we have to wait to schedule something in the Lori Vallow matter. That's right. As you may recall, we brought it to you earlier the week that the defense had filed a motion to continue the jury trial, which was scheduled to begin in June. Well, the judge seemed a little frustrated because he had a busy fall. I'm not sure you can have such a busy fall. Apparently, a whole lot doesn't get done in Idaho judicial system. This case is over a year old by now. Most homicide cases are tried in a year. Homicide. The courts give people some time to get up to speed, investigate for a homicide case where someone's going to spend the rest of their life in prison. Here we have two charges, maximum penalty, 5 years each. So the defendants, Lori Vallow, Chad DeBell, are looking at 10 years in prison as charged right now if they were to lose on both counts. That trial should have been done on the first setting within 6 months, maybe one brief continuance to get up to speed. Now, I understand the defense needs time to prepare. There's a lot of information, but a lot of it is not going to be admissible. This simply comes down to whether the prosecution can prove that the two defendants, Lori Vallow and Chad DeBell, knowingly knew that they were somehow trying to hide evidence as it relates to the death of JJ and Tylee Vallow. The prosecution's ready to go because they understand speedy trial. They have 6 months from the date that the defendant says not guilty to get them there. The defense probably should do that as well. I can tell you, one of the best defenses is a good offense when you say as a defendant, let's go to trial. Oftentimes, the government, I think I've described it like this before, is like a big steamroller. It looks harmless up front. It's a little slow getting going. But once it starts rolling, that's right. You don't want to be standing in front of it. The more time that the defense is going to give the prosecution to get ready certainly doesn't help the defense. Not sure what these two defense attorneys are doing. We call it the way we see it. I really liked Judge Boyce, but I'm starting to wonder if he has what it takes to really move this case along. Here we are a year out. Motions still haven't been filed by the defense. Are you kidding me? I mean, little here and there, disqualify the prosecutor, make sure I can see my client, but no substantive motions, no motions to suppress search warrants, no motions to suppress any statements that may have been made that we don't know about. Nothing. This is not that complicated of a case. The judge should set some firm dates and say the next trial date we set is going to be a solid date. Don't come back to me asking for a continuance. Don't come back to me asking to get off because those will be denied. Now, certainly the judge has to look at it at the time the motion is filed, but they can certainly put their foot down. Unbelievable. Now, next on the docket. One of the reasons why we started this channel was because we were just a little puzzled every time we were in court and then we actually saw what was written in the paper. And you had to wonder, was that person in the same courtroom that I was in? And it really made you wonder if the person in the press was even there at all. And so today, I reaffirmed why we do Crime Talk. I watched nearly all of the testimony today. And what I saw in most newspapers barely discussed what actually took place. Yesterday was not a good day for the defense. The experts that testified yesterday hit it out of the park. They were top experts in their field. And now it makes complete sense why they brought in, the prosecution brought in, hired all of these experts. The reason why the prosecution brought in all of these experts, and then we had Lindsey Thomas, the former head of the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office, who trained Dr. Andrew Baker, who did the autopsy in this case, who basically volunteered her time and became emotional when she talked about this particular case, could basically show that there is some bias there. And the prosecutors don't like Dr. Baker's opinions, which is rather interesting since he's the medical examiner. If they don't trust him on this case, are there other cases in homicides that somehow think the doctor's opinions are not reliable? Let me explain why. The prosecutor had to call Dr. Andrew Baker. He's the doctor that performed the autopsy. And they brought in lots of experts to say, oh, this is pulmonary. It's asphyxiation. And the doctor said basically that Mr. Floyd's cause of death was that fentanyl and heart disease did not directly cause his death, but it certainly contributed to it. Baker ruled that Floyd's cause of death was cardiopulmonary arrest, complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. The manner of death was ruled a homicide. Now, we've talked about this before. Medical examiners only can say if something is a homicide. If some person, other human, was involved, they usually rule it a homicide. The medical definition of a homicide is not the same as the legal definition of a homicide. And remember, a medical examiner can only say homicide, accident, suicide, natural causes. They can go to the manner of death, but the causes can be that. And I guess you can also have undetermined if they were unable to actually decide what it was. They just didn't have enough information. So just because the coroner says it's a homicide doesn't mean legally it's a homicide. That simply says that a person was the cause of the death, was associated in some way. It doesn't mean they're legally guilty. I could shoot somebody and I could be charged with homicide. I could be found not guilty under the legal definition because it was self-defense. So hope that explains it. The Dr. Baker was not examined much by the prosecution. The prosecution wanted to get Dr. Baker off the stand as quickly as possible. But when the defense got up, Dr. Baker basically became the defense witness. This was the witness that the defense has based their theory upon. And the doctor gave them everything that they needed. He stated, this was my result. I said he died of this overenlarged heart, came from basically heart disease. He had blockage in his arteries at one, I think it was 90%. The methamphetamine and the fentanyl contributed. He stated that he's seen people die of fentanyl as low as 3 nanograms and that Mr. Floyd's was 11. The prosecutor wanted to get him up and off the stand. Bottom line, the defense, and I was watching the comments, some people didn't like Mr. Nelson, think he's being annoying. Are you kidding me? Mr. Nelson was getting what he needed for cross-examination. And it wasn't until the very end that I thought it was rather interesting. And normally the words grand jury aren't mentioned when it comes to transcripts, but the doctor volunteered that he testified before two grand juries. One sounded like it was for the George Floyd state case, and that he also testified in a federal grand jury that he had talked to the United States attorneys, and the United States attorneys kept asking him that, but for this, would Mr. Floyd still be alive? And at some point they started asking him questions about, oh, you should probably talk to a pulmonologist. Oh, isn't that coincidence? That's what they did. But he still stands by his findings that Mr. Floyd did not die of asphyxiation. He died of basically the heart shutting down as a combination of his previous medical health issues, drugs in his system. Why is this so significant for the defense? Do I think Derek Chauvin is going to walk? If I was a betting man, I'd probably say not. They'll probably find him guilty of the least severe charge, what we've seen so far. But guess what? I'm sure the defense will have experts to testify if and when the defense calls witnesses. Now understand, the defense never has to call any witnesses. And in most circumstances, when the prosecution's doctor who performed the autopsy agrees with the defense, you usually don't have to do that. But I think in this case, I'd anticipate seeing somebody testify on behalf of Chauvin to contradict the other witnesses in this case. The defense can now argue in closing argument, if all these really smart people can't agree as to the cause of death, how can you? And what do we call that, ladies and gentlemen? We call that reasonable doubt. Just saying. We'll see. Defense had a better day. We'll see if it was enough, ultimately, to overcome the burden that the prosecution has of proving the case beyond a reasonable doubt. The doctor today certainly didn't help, and there was a reason why the prosecution wanted to get that Dr. Baker up and off the stand. Their problem was, guess what the jurors are going home thinking about? The last witness who testified, who was attacked. And oh, by the way, Dr. Baker was basically agreed with the proposition that people tried to influence his testimony or to have him change his mind. Then in the first grand jury, he was very certain of his results. But by the second time, he'd been interviewed numerous times and he wasn't giving the same results. He said, well, why don't you just talk to some other people? Certainly the situation where if a juror wants to convict Derek Chauvin, there is evidence to do so. If they want to acquit Derek Chauvin, a juror could find something to hang their hat on. I still don't think that this is a slam dunk for the prosecution. We'll wait and see. And one of the reasons why I think that it's not a slam dunk was I was reading an article. One of the pool reporters stated that yesterday when Dr. Torben was going through testifying, he basically said, if you can do this and follow along with me, you can do it on yourself. All but three jurors followed along. Guess how many you need to hang a jury? Just one. We'll wait and see. Before we go any further, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, only in the government can you get yourself in trouble and then get promoted. Remember Jason Ravsburg? That's right. He's the South Dakota Attorney General, charged with the careless resulting in death when he struck a man on the side of the road, thought it was a deer. Police officer showed up, but the police officer gave him his own personal car to drive home. And then they came back the next day and said, oh my, there's a dead man in the ditch. Please call for help. I'm so surprised. Well, the good Attorney General is also a colonel, lieutenant colonel, in the United States Army Reserves. And he got promoted to colonel, full bird, 06. Now, when I was in the military, there used to be this list. And if you were an officer and you had anything negative in your background, you didn't get promoted. I'm curious if that list still exists for the good colonel. I would think that the Army, United States Army Reserve, would hold up his promotion until and if his matter is resolved in state court. Maybe the Army will take Crime Talk's suggestion, maybe not, but it would seem like the prudent thing to do. Let me know if you think I'm wrong. Finally, it's Friday. What does that mean? That's right, a recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the day. And before we get to that recap, though, let's go to our two contestants today. All right, the first one. Have you ever seen the guy on the right here? That's Matt Gaetz. He is a United States congressman from the great state of Florida. He's under investigation for maybe engaging in some intimate acts with some people under the age of 18. Well, the guy that was helping him get to the girls has basically turned over some records, and it doesn't look good for either one of them. Venmo, ladies and gentlemen, you can transfer money. Even I can do it. It's amazing. Well, it would show in some Venmo transactions going back to 2018, Representative Matt Gaetz sent his friend, the accused sex trafficker, Joel Greenberg, $900. The next morning, over the course of 8 minutes, Greenberg used the same app to send three young women varying sums of money, coincidentally totaling $900. The memo field for the first of the Gaetz transactions to Greenberg was titled Test. In the second, the Florida GOP congressman wrote, hit up blank. But instead of a blank, Gaetz wrote a nickname for one of the recipients. That's right, one of the underage girls, allegedly. And when Greenberg then made his Venmo payment to these three young women, he described the payments as tuition, school, and school. Now, certainly we will give the representative the presumption of innocence as well as Joel Greenberg. But you would think if you were going to do something like that, that maybe you'd want to use cash and you certainly wouldn't want to use Venmo. I had a client that used Venmo in a drug transaction. And when the guy that he sold the drugs to paid him in a Venmo and the police looked at his phone, it said, under the memo, drugs. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So we have Matt Gaetz and Joel Greenberg, our dumb criminal contestants of the day. And if they win, we certainly know where to send our mug that we're going to send to the drug that we're going to send to the dumb criminal. Because why is that? Well, we have to send it to the good congressman's congressional office in Washington, D.C. I wonder if we get somebody to do a box opening for us. Our second contestant is a gentleman by the name of Kyle Ahearns. Now, Kyle, he's a young man. He's 20. He went to college. And what goes on in college on Thursday through Sunday night? Partying. That's right. And some people have a tendency to drink a lot. Sometimes to the point where they would say, I have no idea what I may have engaged in. But in this particular case, Mr. Ahearns has some physical evidence working against him. Let me explain. An unidentified student said that he was with his girlfriend and he was drinking a little bit. He, needless to say, was tired and he went to bed with his girlfriend in a room. At some point in the evening, the young gentleman woke up and found that someone was removing his pants and was pleasuring him. That's right. At some point, he thought he was having a dream that the person pleasuring him had a beard. The following morning, the young unidentified gentleman wanted to thank his girlfriend for last night's little escapade, and she said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, as the day went on and the investigation continued, they did, that's right, a penile swab. And guess whose DNA they found there? That's right. Young Kyle Ahearns, who also admitted to drinking and not really recalling what he may have done that night. Now, Mr. Ahearns denied sexual contact with the victim and claimed that he blacked out due to drinking too much and doesn't remember anything from the night of the incident. But Ahearns was certain that there was no reason his DNA would be on the victim or his clothing. When the lab test came back, Mr. Ahearns' DNA was on the victim's underwear and, yes, the swab. He was arrested for sexual abuse. We've tried to mention this before, Mr. Ahearns, but this is a good time to reiterate. All right, I've used this in closing sometimes. It's a nice little statement. Wherever the criminal steps, wherever he touches, whatever he leaves, even unconsciously, will serve as silent witness against him. Not only his fingerprints or his footprints, but his hair, the fibers from their clothes, the glass he breaks, the marks he leaves, the paint he scratches, the blood he deposits or collects, all of these and much more bear mute witness against him. The evidence does not forget. It is not confused by the excitement of the moment. It is not absent because human witnesses are. It cannot perjure itself. It cannot be prejudiced, be influenced by suggestion, by falsely reinforced identity. It cannot be wholly absent. Only human failure to find it, study it, and understand it can diminish its value. Well, we had modern DNA, and Mr. Ahearn, you should know DNA is just about everywhere you go, and it's going to be where you may have engaged in some exchange of bodily fluids. So Mr. Ahearns, you are our co-dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now for a little bonus. If you're a Patreon member, you'd already have this link. So why are you not a Patreon member? If you're a Patreon member, you'd already be able to see the interview that we did with Mike King. He has the Profiling Evil YouTube page, and he has written a book regarding one of the cases that he was involved in. And if you want to talk about somebody that's a hero and literally saved children's lives, this is an interview you want to see. You should become a Patreon if you want to see it now. You should. But if not, we'll be putting up Sunday at 1. Now, finally, maybe you've heard a little bit of a distraction, but today we have a special visitor in the house. Miss Winnie, come on down. All right. You may have remembered at some point on one of our live shows, maybe it was our even our Patreon, we brought in Miss Winnie the Bulldog. And, well, the lovely Miss Kristen was out of town, so I brought her to work today. And who doesn't love a beautiful bulldog just like this? That's right. Anyway, if you want to follow the adventures of Miss Winnie the Bulldog, you simply have to go to TikTok or Instagram and look for Miss Winnie the Bulldog. And she's going to be internet famous. Go figure. Anyway, we wanted to show you how big she has gotten since she was born in November 3rd, I think. Look how big she is. And she's not full grown just yet. But she's such the best dog ever. All right. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful week. Next week, maybe a little touch or go since I'm in trial, but I'll certainly try to get a video out every day. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for watching.